everyone. Welcome. And I'm so happy you're here. I am joined with my soul sister, Paula Hillick. And we are joining tonight and welcoming everybody to our conversation about fear. And what is it? And do we all have this, you know, we all have the thoughts and feelings, you know, that kind of keep us stuck. So we thought we would delve into that tonight and discuss fear and how it's really, you know, it's one of those feelings that, you know, I don't know, it can take us really far. We can rein it in. But anyway, I want to say hello to Paula. Are you here?
I'm here. Hello, Susan. Hello, everyone. So happy to be talking to you again.
Hello, my friend. So, you know, Paula and I were talking earlier today, and we're like, I miss you. You know, we talk. We usually are having these conversations once or twice a week, and, you know, and it's like, I miss you. But this is what this is for. You know, we're really bringing our combined experiences and chat and knowledge to everybody right now. And we want you to call in. We want participation and just to share in, you know, this thing called life. And, you know, fear really is a word. It sort of has a real big, heavy meaning to it. But I'm not sure. I am not convinced that it's cracked up to what it is. You know, I'm just really not. And I want to throw in the number right now. If anybody wants to call in, our phone number is 1-917-889-7074. We will be taking your questions. So we hope you stay on the line and listening, and, you know, this is the time we want you to get a cup of tea, put your feet up, grab a glass of wine. It doesn't matter. Just listen. And if you feel you have a question for us, we would love to talk to you if you want to contribute anything. So this is Soul Sister Radio, and I'm just so excited. You know, this is our second show, and Paula's here, so Paula, tell me, how are you and how are you feeling this week?
I'm having a great week, a busy week, but I'm really happy to be here talking about fear. As you know, it's one of my favorite topics of conversation because even if you understand fear cognitively and even if you understand all the reasons that trigger you to experience feelings of fear, it can be really hard to control emotionally. And as you know, Susan, my first degree was in sociology with a minor in psychology. And I jokingly always say that that was actually self-therapy because, as we told the viewers last week, I grew up in a fairly traumatic and dysfunctional home. I had heightened responses to many situations, many behaviors, even just looks, really, that people might give you, I would have emotional responses to. So my first degree was really sort of figuring out what's normal, or as normal as can be anyway, what's normal, what's not normal, what's appropriate behavior, what's inappropriate behavior. And even after I had all of that under my belt, I was still having emotional responses to things, even though I knew that they weren't in fact real threats to me. I was still having fear-based emotional responses. So I did a lot of different things, worked through a lot of different things to get to where I am today so that I could be thriving and growing and on the precipice of sharing my gifts with the world. So I know we're going to get a bit into that in the main show conversation, but before we do, I think, Susan, you were going to pull a message for us from the higher team and prepare and protect and
absolutely
bless the radio show and us and our listeners before we get into that.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, I am, and I would love to do that. So, you know, and the whole time, Paula, you're talking, I'm like, you know, I'm listening to you, and I'm like, yes, I'm right there with you, and I'm shuffling my cards. So, you know, part of what I like to do is, you know, ask invite everybody right now at this moment to just sort of close their eyes and envision where you are and just accept where you are and call in your guides, your highest team, God, the universe, universal energy, archangels, ascended masters. And I'd like to pull a card that will, you know, support us and speak to us this evening for this show. And let me see what I'm going to cut the deck. And, okay, all right. So here we go. It is called, Stuck in the Mud. And I'm going to read it the way it is presented. You're being invited to stop and savor the wonder of your life. Becoming stuck is sometimes the only way to trick yourself into slowing down and looking around you. In fact, this is a sign that you need to shift your focus away from what you're doing and place your attention elsewhere. Struggling will only get you to even muddier places. Now is not the time to move forward, but to observe. Clarity is about your circumstances will come a little later. Stop and find the joy in what you've been overlooking. Soon you'll be out of the mud, but for now, be still and know that Spirit has a plan for you. So this is pretty fascinating because when we, you know, Polly, when you and I talk about fear and here we are setting the show up and, you know, we both felt led to bring this into the conversation tonight because we've both come a long way in dealing with fear. And when I see this card and I feel, you know, just, it's sort of like for everybody to just pull back and wait, listen, tune in, and listen to your inner guidance. So I happen to love that card, and that's sort of what that means. So how do you feel about that?
You know me, I'm a note taker, so and I haven't heard the meaning of this card or anything before, so I was taking notes as you were talking, and I want to come back to two or three different points. So we're going to get into sort of the physiology of fear and what it does to, you know, what it is and what it does to the body. But I loved how the beginning of the card was really talking about shift your focus away and stop struggling and or else your situation will be muddier. And so, again, we'll talk about this in more detail later, but often our response to fear is perceived potential fear as opposed to actual reality fear. And that can become a real pattern. It can become an addiction. And it certainly did in my life, this overriding need to protect myself and how that played out. And what I was always really focused on was potential threats or people who were potentially threatening or could in any way have any control, power, or abuse over me, basically. And if that's what you're on the search for, that is what you'll see. And, you know, in sociological terms, they sometimes use expressions called a scotoma, which is literally a blind spot. So you become sort of blind to the people who are good and nurturing and kind and there to be special mentors and guides to you in a positive way. You become blind to that. And all you're really focused on, looking at, and attracted to is the opposite of that, which is, in fact, what happened to me for a long time. And I also loved how you said in the card, like, just be observant. I think there's a message there that start observing your responses. You know, most of the great meditative teachers, like Deepak, they talk about, you know, there's you, the soul, the ego, soul, and then there's the space of the person who's behind that, the soul or the higher being that is can be the observer of the life that you're living here on this planet and your reactions to it, right? I don't know if that's making any sense, okay. Susan, what I'm saying.
Oh, it does. It makes sense to me because, you know me, maybe I come from a Carl Jung background, and I'm really I'm in the observer position, and I do understand that, and I don't know, you know, maybe a lot of listeners don't, but what we're saying here is like, you know, it's time to, you have to step back from anything you're feeling or thinking and go, okay, so where's this coming from? Who is saying it? You know, and how does this apply to me? And sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't apply to you at all. It's somebody else's stuff. So that's that observer position that
really
I think is very important.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, it's about recognizing your emotional reaction and knowing that, you know, you get to choose that emotional reaction. And once you're aware of it, because awareness is really the beginning of it, then you can sort of work to change that emotional reaction and not be controlled and ragdolled by these emotions all the time. And as it said in the card that you read, be still and know spirit has a plan for you. And, you know, we're going to be talking about that in this hour, that really, to me, you know, it's fear or faith. It's really one or the other, right? And if your perception, as mine was for a very long time, that the world is cruel and mean and dangerous, end stop, that's it, then I was really always looking at the world through fear goggles, what I like to call fear goggles. And I have switched that for faith goggles, that, you know, my feeling is that I'm protected. I'm here for a reason. I chose to come here and live this life. I chose to come here and develop a gift and share that gift with the world. Now, it's taken me a really long time to get here and say that calmly without a lot of physical reactions to fear, because that caused a lot of fear in me. And again, we'll talk about that. But I now choose faith goggles. And I swear, it's a practice like anything else. So, you know, you have to do the work. You have to do the meditation. You have to, you know, do the stillness. You have to be observant. You have to do all those things that keep you healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, so that you can make the right choices. Otherwise, you get out of shape like every other muscle, and you'll slip back into those old fear-based reactions. But, yeah, I totally try to take off my fear goggles and see every event through faith goggles, which is there's a lesson to be learned, there's a strength to be gained. As Elizabeth Gilbert says often on her Facebook pages and things that she writes, onward. Okay, yep, got that, onward.
Exactly. Okay, so first of all, I love fear goggles versus faith goggles, because I've never heard that before, and I absolutely love that. So,
yay.
Yeah, that's like huge, because I think most people listening to us, you know, and me and you, and I'm listening to you, you know, the thing is about, here we are showing up in these bodies. We're human beings, and, you know, we are souls. We're like these hugely developed souls that, as you and I know, I mean, I know that you and I feel like we've been here a million times, but you know what? We're showing up in these lives. So here we are in these physical lives, and fear is part of being human. So where, you know, what are you choosing to look out from? So put on your fear goggles or your faith goggles, and truly believe that that makes a huge difference in how we experience and what we attract into our lives. Fear, like I know fear, you know, we can fear the unknown, or we can trust the unknown. So that's that goggle. What are you choosing? What filter are we choosing to live our lives, you know?
Yeah, and I think, again, what I want to share is it's easier said than done, because you can have great clarity about the difference between the two, and you can have great clarity about which one you'd rather have, but doing it is the tough part. It's a simple concept, but tough to do. And so, you know, there are steps. There's lots of things that you can do to help yourself to walk through the fear. But before we get to that and some of the things that you and I have done to help us walk through our fears, I want to just take a few minutes to just define fear and its physical effects on the body. And I'm sure this
right.
is nothing new to anybody that's listening because, as we often say, the truth is too important to be new. But we just want to have a recap, so we're all kind of starting from the same playing field. And then what Susan and I would like to do is share some of the predominant fears that we've both experienced and how we've worked through them, how they presented themselves in our life, how we work through them and where we are with that today, because really it's a lifelong journey. And then we have a couple of, I have a couple of books I'd like to recommend. You'll, once you start to get to know me, you'll know how much I love reading, how much I love books, and in particular picture books, and I can't wait to share those with you at the end of the show. So, you know, fear, simply stated, is a human emotion that's triggered by a perceived threat to us. And I'm sure many of you have heard that expression, fight or flight responses. And so, you know, when our body is, or when our body is reacting to that fear emotion, it shuts down certain parts of our body and ramps up other parts of our body in an effort to protect us, either to fight someone or to get away. So it actually slows down our digestive system and sharpens some functions, such as eyesight. It increases your heart rate and also increases a number of hormones into your body. But it shuts down the critical thinking areas of the brain, which are pretty tough for some of us because many of us experience this emotional reaction to fear in situations where we actually could really use our thinking part of the brain, like driving, for example, and in some cases in boardrooms, you know, depending on who you work for or with. But in any case, if, as most of us do, live in stressful environments with constant real or potential threats, the long-term effect of these hormones being released into the body is that, you know, is the number one killer actually in North America, which is cardiovascular disease, gastronomical problems. So I don't know about you, Susan, but every other person mm-hmm. I talk to today has either something wrong with their stomach or their bowels, right?
Well,
and it's a
yeah.
direct.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, I agree. I agree with everything you just said. This is so physically connected that what you're talking about, Paula, as you know, and I think many of our listeners know, is that this is really like chakra stuff. And everything we take in, you know, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, is being filtered. So we have this body, our physical body, who's like, okay, I'm here, and what do I do with this stuff, and who's saying it, and who am I listening to, where am I, and all of that, and our bodies are expected to just deal with it. Well, we don't always deal with it because we aren't processing correctly, or we're stuck. So if we can understand where stuff is landing in our bodies, that's a great start.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think we're also overwhelmed, right, Susan? It sort of feels sometimes like this is just one more thing that you have to take care of, right? And like I said sort of at the beginning of the call, reacting in a fear-based way becomes a habit. And the problem with that habit is that over time, it damages our physical body and it damages our brain. It affects, long-term memory, for example, and it makes it very difficult for you. It's sort of like one of those chronic diseases. The more it happens, the more you do it, the worse it gets. So it becomes even more and more difficult for us to regulate our own fear and can leave you in just sort of a general state of anxiety, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing is like a lot of times people think fear protects us, but it actually
mm-hmm.
stunts us. And the only way to like overcome it or to do something different is choosing a different journey. It's not staying in fear. It's not like, I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to be friends with it. I don't want anybody, like my clients that show up to me. No, I want to confront it, and I want to go, okay, this is what it is. This is what you are, but it may be very different. So let's just, you know, bring our higher selves in and look at this with dignity and just say, you know, is this serving me? Is it not? Because if it's not serving me, it's counterintuitive to my life. So what do I feel? How do I want to proceed with my life? Is this for me? Is it against me? There are so many questions we can ask every feeling, you know, that lands in our body and comes into our mind, because we are going to have a million ways to answer the question about fear. It's not simplistic. It's not simple. It's not simplistic either. So
it definitely is. And so what I would say is just start where you're at with what you have, right? So just, I don't know, keep a journal, start to be aware. When you find yourself being afraid or being anxious, write down what that thing is. You might not know what the underlying real cause to it is, but maybe you'll know what the trigger is. So write down the trigger. I'm feeling afraid and anxious of this today. And over time, you'll start to see a pattern. Those fears and anxieties will start to group, you know, into buckets. And I figured out, you know, fairly early on for me that I had three main fears. And again, as we've talked about before, a lot of the tracks that are laid down in your subconscious, which predominantly dictate your emotional responses to external stimuli, you know, are laid down in the tracks of your subconscious before the age of 5 or 6. And so my overriding three fear buckets were, and in no particular order or significance, it's just here are the three. I had a huge fear of abandonment and loss. Of people and of things, even like losing an item would send me into a state of crisis. I had a huge fear of persecution and betrayal, like personal exposure and persecution. And, you know, that's still one that I work on, especially as I'm launching myself and the things that I'm creating out into the world. And the last one, which I think is a fear that like 99% of the population have, is a fear of failure. So those were my three fear buckets. And I would be happy to share what it is I did or what things I thought were significantly helped me work through that. Susan, if you think we have time to do that.
Yeah, I mean, please bring us through how you got through, you know, the biggest.
Well, I'll just, in the interest of time, and because I want to hear from, you know, I want you to share your fears too and how you've worked through them. I'll say a little bit about each one of them. So, in terms of persecution, let me start first with the fear of failure because I think it's most common and I think it's the easiest to speak to. We're in a new era, too, Susan, this whole sort of Google era where apparently the motto in Google is something like fail harder, because if they're not failing, then they're not creating things outside of the box and coming up with new and inventive ideas, right? We are certainly socialized in an educational system where you are graded and ranked and compared against your peers and where we play competitive sports. And, you know, the person who wins goes home with the prize and the person who doesn't, who we call the loser, goes home with nothing, right? It doesn't feel good in our culture to be compared and ranked and called a loser. So it's very natural that most of us would, develop anxiety around that and prefer not to be on that side in this culture. But even when you come out of grade school and even if you're lucky enough to not be in a position where you're compared and ranked against other people, for most people in sales positions, that, again, is not the case. But even, let's say, you're an artist and you're a creator and hopefully you're not comparing your work to anyone else. You're concerned about how it goes out into the world, how it will be perceived, will anybody like it? And again, this is something I think that it's a fear that you work on all your life. But if you start focusing on something else again, then the fear slips away. If you focus on developing your gifts as a craft and sharing those gifts with the world, you no longer worry so much about how it's being received, because that's not your business. In fact, it's none of your business. I think it's Wayne Dyer says, I think he says something literally like, other people's opinions of me are none of my business. And I've taken on that kind of a mantra when it comes to what I'm creating and putting out into the world. I'm going to, you know, I feel like I'm being divinely directed, first of all. So I'm going to follow that direction, create what they're asking me to create, and put it out into the world. And how it's received is how it's meant to be received. And I have to be happy with that. And the other thing that I'd say that really recently has helped me a lot with this is that I saw the Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield speak in Toronto. And it was a life-changing speech for me. And he talked about how when you're an astronaut, they actually practice things failing. So they practice things going wrong. And because they practice things going wrong, they don't have the same fear about it when it happens. So he told a story, Susan, about obviously when you're in space, being outside of the space shuttle, dangerous situation to be in, the most dangerous place to be in. And he tells a story about being outside of the shuttle, and they'd use some kind of oil on the inside of the helmet so that it wouldn't fog up, and that oil got into his eyes and caused his eye to water, but they're in space, there's no gravity, so it doesn't well up and then slide down your cheek, it just wells up and creates like this globe over your eyeballs, and it doesn't go anywhere, and he was literally outside of the space shuttle blind. But however, they had practiced that. In fact, they had practiced being blind and cut off from the control, so blind and deaf, in essence, and what you would do to get back into the space shuttle. So because he was blind but not cut off from control, he still had, you know, the auditory function there. He was perfectly calm, and they were able to rectify it and get him back into the shuttle. And that just changed things for me. And now instead of seeing it as a failure, I just sort of see it as an opportunity to see what happens and try to do better with it. Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
Well, yes, it does to me. So this is really interesting because I was just writing down what you were saying. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Because what I was thinking and came up with, you know, for myself is, you know, we're always seeking evidence-based information. And that's being human. We want evidence. We want, okay, show me what you got. I'm going to show you what I've got, and let's match it up. But when we're talking about, you know, the emotional fears and the intuitive fears and the irrational fears, those are just words. It doesn't mean they're not real. It doesn't mean they're not right or wrong. It just means that we're processing. So, you know, when I was hearing about you and I'm feeling this, okay, so stuck energy. You know, I remember, you know, that's a big thing to me because I'm always transmuting stuck energy in my clients or trying to feel, where does that land in your body? I want to know. So we will talk about things and they're going to feel it in their body and they tell me and I'm, you know, we match it up to a chakra and we transmute it. The times, you know, past outcomes from as we were growing up, or even past life bleed throughs, it, you know, we're going way out there right now, but you know, past outcomes and how it lands in our body, and it just, that's like a starting point. So, you know, I always ask people in my clients, like, what if it's not true? And what if, you know, what's going to happen, you know, what's the best that could happen? Rather than, what's the worst that could happen? I would rather say, what's the best that could happen? Tell me your fear. Tell me what you want to do. And just tell me the best that could happen, because that's a starting point. If we start with, well, I'm going to tell you the worst that could happen. Well, okay, that's going to be, you know, that could take forever, and that's never going to get off the ground. So,
you know, I couple of things I thought of while you were talking there. First of all, I wanted to say, so just so I understand, so when a client comes to you, Susan, and you're working on some issues, are you saying that many of those issues are caused by a situation where they had a fearful reaction, and that fear reaction, that emotional reaction, is now stored in the body energetically, and that needs to be cleared? Aside from working on it psychologically, cognitively, it's actually stored as a physical event in the body, and it's blocking something in the body. So that actual event, which caused an emotional reaction in the body, that fear-based reaction is stored somewhere and needs to be cleared out. Is that what you were saying when you were talking about transmuting the stuck energy?
Yes, oftentimes, not always, and not
yep.
with everyone.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, people show up and, you know, to me or seek out an intuitive coach or any coach or therapy, you know, it doesn't matter. But they're seeking, you know, the advice of somebody else because what they're doing isn't making sense anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so oftentimes I will get somebody in front of me who is saying, you know, I can, you know, and the thing with me is like I can read their energy. I'm sitting there with
mm-hmm.
them, and I get it.
Mm.
I'm really in a different league than I'm not a therapist whatsoever.
Mm.
I'm not qualified as one at all, but I am an intuitive reader, so I can sort of sit with them and respectfully, you know, sit with their energy and.
And
feel,
and feel
with
where
them.
It's stuck. Yeah.
Feel where it's stuck.
And,
you know, yeah, and I'll do different processes or ask questions or whatever to get me to find out where they are. And but, yeah, I do. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times it's feeling it out through the body.
Right.
So, yeah.
This is why you and I are such a perfect match together, because you're all about feeling it out through the body and I'm all about thinking it out through the head, and
exactly.
Our partnership is a marriage between the two of them. It's not that I don't need to feel it out through the body, and I certainly do, and that's why I came to you myself professionally, but I always mm-hmm. find that thinking it out through the head is what leads me there. It's not ultimately the in fact, if you have issues stored in the body, then you do need to seek someone out like you who can help you move them out. You know, there are other things you can also do, and we'll talk about that. But I love this marriage about the cognitive aspect of issues, problems, including fear, and then also the physical aspects. I also wanted to ask you, Susan, or I wanted to comment on when you were talking about the what-if game. I love, again, this is, you know, something that we do that's different, but I think it's complementary, is you do the what's the best thing that can happen game. And what I often do with people is I do the what if and then what. So because often I found when you're dealing with people and their fears, the fears keep popping up, right? It's sort of like that groundhog game. The fears just keep popping up until you deal with them. And so what I like to do is play the what if and then the then what game right down the rabbit hole. So if the fear pops up, say, okay, what if that happens? And let's discuss what if that happens and then what? And if another
yeah.
fear comes, okay, let it pop up. Let's talk about what happens if that happens and then what? You know, the
exactly.
fear of the fear is always worse than anything happening itself.
Right. You know, that's it. It's like for me, I've looked at fear in the eye, and I've looked at fear in the soul, and I've looked at straight on. And to me, it's like fear is like putting a stake in the ground of worry. So why do I want to do that? Wait, do I want to stay really really grounded in worry? Because to me, fear is going, boom, now what are you going to worry about? Because you have something to worry about. Whereas now, as you know, as a spiritual being or somebody trying to transmute and get people out of this stuckness, I want to go, oh, I want to dig it up. I'm looking to dig up all the stakes we put down. And I want to look at them and I want to bless them and say, this served you once, this served you twice. So what are you going to do with it? Let's just use that dandelion, you know, meditation where we're all blowing the seeds out and saying, go. I want you to blow this into the wind and let God take it. Let the universe take it. It's not yours anymore. There's no,
you know, people
reason
with
to worry.
Susan, people with control issues would have a really hard time in blowing that all out into the wind. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I have control issues.
I do. Well, I do, but 10 minutes with me and you won't. No. I do. No, Paul,
I know exactly
it.
What you're saying, but that's
I
the
know.
Thing about fears. I actually was having a physical response as you were saying that, right? That when you started talking about pulling up those stakes, doing the dandelion meditation, which maybe not everybody listening knows what that is, and it's a lovely meditation, but the thought of letting all of that go, it is like, it's like, oh my gosh, then they could all be out there taking root. You know what I mean? It is a control
but
issue.
It's true. And it's trusting something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like, okay,
it all
wait.
Comes back to faith. It all comes back to faith over and over. Like, you can do the exercises here, you know, and this is going to be a running theme through everything we talk to. You have to get connected to spirit, and that connection to spirit will eventually bring you, you know, a stronger faith. It's the beginning. It's the beginning and the middle and the end. It's everything. So I want to talk about the next fear that I had, which was persecution, like exposure and betrayal. Is that okay, Susan, if we sort of take it to the next big fear that I had? So this next big fear, I think, again, it's a big fear. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of times people don't put their work out into the world. Have you ever heard that expression, Susan? Something like, some of the best ideas in the world are buried in the grave. Have you heard that?
I have.
Because something like that. I could be paraphrasing it wrong, but because people were afraid to show and share when they were alive. So anyway, we could get into a whole conversation about what created this whole fear in me, but I'd rather talk about what helped me get over it. And so very early on, because I knew that I couldn't deal with this issue cognitively, I was having emotional reactions, and even though I would try to elevate to my higher self and step outside of my physical reaction, I wasn't getting over it. So a friend of mine recommended hypnotherapy, and at the time I started doing this, well, at the time she approached me with it, I was like, oh my God, that's too weird. I don't want to do that. I'm not into that past life stuff. Of course, I'm into all of that now. But then it had to be a clinical, psychologist. It had to be sort of clean hypnosis. And it was all around accessing my subconscious and rewriting some of those negative tapes that had been laid down there. And anyway, I'll just share. I was on the table. She, you know, basically, you don't go under. I'm not hypnotized. I'm just meditated into a relaxed state so that she could have access to my subconscious. And she was working with me and working on some of these issues I had around not trusting people and being afraid of betrayal and persecution and exposure. And she was doing a simple meditation. Many people have done it, where you're on a beach and you're walking and the waves and it's peaceful and the breeze. And she said, you know, look back at your footsteps and leave your unhappiness behind. I swear to God, I was on that table and I was fighting with my own brain. I was saying, did she just say leave your happiness behind? And I was literally on the table saying, Paula, she wouldn't do that. She's a trained professional. What could she possibly have to gain by messing with you and trying to screw you up? She didn't say that. You know, I was literally having this fight. And then in the same meditation, she used the words, what she was saying was, and enjoy, like I-N-J-O-Y, and enjoy. And she went on to say something else. But my brain heard injury. So instead of hearing enjoy, I heard injury, like that. And again, I was on the table fighting with myself, saying, oh my God, is she trying to screw with me? Is she trying to mess me over and having this whole and I was done. Like physically, I was done. I was getting up off that table. I was finished. I wasn't, you know, staying there to take this abuse anymore. And she was intuitive enough to see that somehow I was struggling. And she said, in a minute, I'm going to count you up. But she never did. And because she said, in a minute, I'm going to count you back up, so pull you out of that meditative state and, you know, allow me to sit up and escape this abuse, because she said that, I then relaxed back into the meditation and she finished the work. And when she was done, we had a debrief around it. And, you know, we had this huge discussion and she said, you know, Paula, the things that get the biggest physical response from you are the kindest things that I say. And it's because I was not interpreting those things as kindness. So how messed up is that, Susan, that if you approached me with kindness, I would respond with suspicion. I would hear it in a different way. And again, that's what we talk about as a scotoma, so a blind spot. I was perceiving things through my fear goggles. I was it's also called the low principle. I was locking on to the things that fit what I had laid down in my dysfunctional tracks in my subconscious, and locking out any potential for beauty and kindness and compassion and empathy. I really was that mistrusting and doubting of people. And that, again, that experience really helped me be aware and then scrutinize my own responses. Because let's face it, Susan, really, even if that were true, even if every single person I ever met was trying to persecute or betray or expose me, what advantage did I ever gain by being so shut down and mistrusting? And other people's behavior has nothing to do with me. I can choose to be open and loving and kind and generous and receiving, right? Open to all the goodness. And if someone actually comes into my space that isn't that, I can choose, you know, my reaction to that at that time, but I was locking myself out from any sort of goodness or connections with people in that way.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that, because that's, it's huge. And I feel with you here, and I'm with you, and I've been there. And the only thing that comes to my mind is like, I always turn it to, what would I say here? What would I encourage? Or it's like for people to find their encouragers, like who set us up? It's like, you know, look at the source. Look at the source at who set you up. I don't care if you're just 2 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, 15. Somebody along the way set us up. So we are not looking for our encouragers. They're there. And like Paula, you and I, like I feel we found each other and we're like each other's encouragers, like big time, because mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, Paula, you and I were out there flapping our wings and going, mm-hmm. okay, well, and we found each other. We did. So I know you're in my pond, you know, mm-hmm. so I'm seeing this little like dove, but you're in my pond. I'm in your pond. So we're encouragers.
Not but I wouldn't have trusted you, Susan. You know, and I wouldn't have trusted you, though. The thing is, I met you years after that work. But if I had met you then, I wouldn't have been open to the goodness and kindness and gifts that you bring into my life.
Well, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So, and vice versa. Because that's what this conversation is about. It's like, look at the people. The souls, the soul sisters, the soul brothers, it doesn't matter who, but the souls that are going, okay, wait a minute, my hand's up, I have a feeling I'm in your pond, I might be on your team, I don't know, you need to validate me. So we may not see or encompass everybody that's showing up for us. It will come around again. It's okay. It just means not now. doesn't mean not forever. But
yeah, there's no end date. There's no termination date. The universe and our divine team will keep presenting to us. They'll keep presenting to us, until we're unblinded, until we, have removed our faith goggles and or our fear goggles. And if we never do,
it'll be the next life.
In this life, exactly.
As long as we know, that's the thing, Paula. Like, I know you and I talk, and we're like, okay, so a lot of people have this, like, deadline, and okay, before I die, I have this bucket list. Just like, well, I have a kind of bucket list, but I kind of want
to
have fun
until
I die.
Why restrict it to one life, Susan? Why restrict it to one life?
And we're not. It's like, can I come back, with all my, a little bit more wisdom, and maybe with Paula and some of my other friends who, in the next life, I just kind of want to enjoy something a little more deeply, but that's okay. We're here for the learning curves, and, if we can collect our soul sisters and brothers and soulmates along the way, it's a really nice return. I just believe that. And
so you and I have 15 minutes left, and I had one more fear, but we've not discussed yours, so I think we should shelf this one and talk about your fears. So we still want to talk about two books, and I would love for you to repeat the card again at the end of the show. So do you want to share one of your fears with us, Susan? You don't have to.
Okay, so
up to you.
Oh no, that's fine. I will. I will quickly. And this is off sort of the top of my head. I'm not gonna. We're totally unscripted. And although we say that, we have a skeleton outline of okay. Well, I need. We're pulling from somewhere. But for me, and the way this conversation is going, one of my biggest fears is really like showing up, with full throttle. Sort of like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I see.
You mean like living large, shining bright, that kind of thing?
You sort of. And with my clients. And like, even with you,
okay.
Paula. Like, because you know me. And, we work together. Been friends together. But, with other people in my life and clients, I'm really stepping out. And it's not that easy because I'm not used to it, but I'm okay with it. And I'm getting really qualified feedback from people I admire and, including my own coach. And I do coaches have coaches. So I have my own amazing coach who I deeply respect and who I feel respects me. And when I'm doing this type of thing, I'm out there. So that's my fear. I don't know. I'm just trusting the universe. I'm trusting my guides. I'm trusting God and what I'm supposed to deliver and show up as. So as far as integrate, the messages for people, the people in my life and the people, my clients, I'm always, always probably going to question myself, but I'm trying to step out of that. So that's my biggest fear and my biggest, obstacle to come over, and I'm trying.
And so what you would say is helping you through that is a coach, like a professional coach?
Well, yeah. So I mean, I'm an intuitive coach, but I also have my own, and I just feel, all of us, I don't care who you are, human being, whatever you're doing, find your guidance. Find your guidance system. Find your faith. Find your flock. Find your team and everybody in your pond, as we talked tonight. But you will know them. You'll know them on a soul level far more than on a piece of paper. I don't have like a million qualifications. I really don't. What I do have, and what I feel that people that are attracted to me find in me is a sense of authenticity, reality, and kindness and love, and somebody who kind of supports them and feeling it out together. I'm not perfect. I'm not, I'm not saying I'm the best one, but neither the people that I seek out, I'm finding the same thing in them. So it's kind
you'll
of
attract
a
your tribe,
cool
right? The people who you're right for, Susan, will be attracted
yes.
to you and will approach you. Yeah, and because you are lovely and totally approachable and so kind in your work, like so gentle and inviting in your work. And I've worked with lots of people, so you know, I know the difference. So I want to thank you for that, because here we are together and you have helped me overcome some big fears and some big hurdles. So I want to, we got 10 minutes left. I want to talk about two books and just want to recap the whole fear thing. And then you are going to repeat your card and we're going to end with a quote and say goodbye. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay.
Perfect.
So, I have an elementary teaching degree, and I love picture books. I always say pictures are worth 1,000 words. Well, everybody says that, actually. And so that's why I think picture books are amazing. I have many favorite picture book authors. One of them is Emily Gravettes, and her last name is spelled G-R-A-V-E-T-T. And this little book that I want to recommend is called Little Mouse's Big Book of Fears by Emily Gravettes. So Little Mouse's Big Book of Fears. And the reason that I love it is it just enables you to begin a dialogue with your children about fear. You know, talk to them about what fear is, what it does to the body, and the need to recognize your fears, have an awareness of your fears, and then decide what fears are real and, you know, should be there to help protect you, and what fears are just potential threats that aren't even happening and therefore not real. I think it's Mark Twain said something like, I've been, and again, I'm paraphrasing, this isn't the exact quote, but it's something like, I've had a lot of terrible experiences in my life, and some of them actually happened. And that is what a life of fear is. It's living through, you know, psychologically, emotionally, and physically through events that haven't even happened. They're not real. So check out this little book. It's really great. I mean, teachers love this book because it has all the big fear words like anacrophobia, which is fear of spiders. But at the very back of the book, it has a page that's blank where it gives parents the opportunity, well, actually, throughout the whole book, you really do have the opportunity to ask your children to write down their fears and share them with you and record them with you. You know, again, in terms, there's one more book for adults, which many, many people know and keeps popping up in my life and even Susan's life, which is so funny. That's the synchronicity of it all, which is Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson, MD. It's a very quick read, and it really is appropriate for any adult, and actually the concept of it is very appropriate for children too, because of the characters are mice, but it's appropriate for anybody who's going through any change and your fear in response to that change. We live in an ever-increasing, complex, and change-filled world, and people aren't dealing with it well. Many people are waiting for the old way to return, and that's not going to happen. Change is happening at an increasing exponential rate. And if you struggle dealing with change, as most of us do, this is a really great book that will help you deal with it. Again, it's a quick read. I won't get into the details. Just look it up, Google it, and get a synopsis. You'll see what I mean. And bring it into your home and use it with your children. So that's my two book recommendations for dealing with fears. My professional, I mean, I shouldn't be saying my professional recommendation. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a counselor in any way. Start to have an awareness. Keep a journal. Find professionals who can help you. You know, I went the route of hypnotherapy because, again, it can access what's laid down in your subconscious that your thinking mind can't get access to. And, you know, and if you don't have any awareness, you're not sure you don't have any awareness, and it's certainly affecting you physically with fibromyalgia and all these other different types of ailments, cardiovascular, digestive problems, bowel problems, maybe seek out the help of medical intuitives, and also energy intuitives like Susan. Anyway, Susan, your parting words?
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you, Paula. So, real quick, how can people get in touch with you or find out where you are? Give us your media.
You can. The best place right now is reach out to me through info@thinkcareshare.com or connect with me on my Facebook page at Facebook Think Care Share. I have a website that's currently under redevelopment construction, should be up soon. That would be thinkcareshare.com, but it's not active right now.
Okay, thank you. You know, and I really do appreciate everything you just said because, you know, a lot of times we don't know, you know, where stuff comes from and why did we, you know, why are we feeling this? Where does it stem from? And it will stem from somewhere in our past, and it could be our past current life. It could be our past other life or just some energy that is sort of stuck. So I do want to read this, the card again that I pulled for everybody, and it was like intuitive and incredible. It is called Stuck in the Mud, and it says, you're being invited to stop and savor the wonder of your life. Becoming stuck is sometimes the only way to trick yourself into slowing down and looking around you. In fact, this is a sign that you need to shift your focus away from what you're doing and place your attention elsewhere. Struggling will only get you even to muddier places. Now is the time to move forward and observe. Clarity about your circumstances will come a little bit later. Stop and find the joy in what you've been overlooking. And I'm going to repeat that. Stop and find the joy in what you've been overlooking.
Because, you know, Susan, you and I both know, sorry to interrupt you, I just want to make this point. You and I both know Everything happens for a reason. So get connected to the divine because it makes it easier to figure out what that reason is.
Exactly. Get connected. Soon you'll be out of the mud. But for now, be still and know that Spirit has a plan for you. So just know that. This is one of those cards where we're coming into the shadow period of Mercury retrograde, you know, through June 11th or whatever it is. Just calm down, tune in, get into your body, and feel your energy centers and where things land. And really, that's it. And, well, I want to just point out where we just found out where we can get in touch with Paula. My website is SusanTMullen.com. And on Facebook, I'm at Susan Mullen Intuitive Living. And, you know, we have like a minute left, Paula. I want to just sort of wrap up here and just sort of tie it all together.
I just want to say what I always repeat at the end, which is Oprah says, stories shared around the world connect people and change lives. So thank you for tuning in, listening to our story. I hope eventually you'll feel free enough and less fearful, and you're able to share your story with us.
Thank you. I agree. And, and just honor and trust and, make sure that you are the leader of your life, not really anyone else or anybody from your past, because every single human being has a different journey and a different playbook. So make sure your playbook has your name on the top of it. Trust your guidance. Trust your encouragers. Find them. Find your tribe. Find your flock. So that's really all I think we have tonight. And join us next week every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Soul Sister Radio. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone.
my God, where does the hour go? Me too. That's okay. They were. I mean, seriously, and they were. Because I think sort of like your show, you put out so much great stuff. And that was great. Good or bad, but I'm like, I'm looking. Yeah, I get it. Yes. Really, your show. Oh, really? What? To me.